Hallelujah. God is so good to us, isn't he? We are truly a blessed people. We are truly a blessed people. I want to share something this morning. You know, the Lord, as he walked through his 3+ years walking through the countryside and sharing what his father would have him to share, he didn't often get behind a pulpit somewhere. Most often you found him sitting on the bow of a boat or on a rock someplace, right, on the side of a mountain, someplace, and people would gather, or maybe perhaps it was just his closest followers. And very often, when he spoke to them to share something with them, he shared it in the form of a story. If you really stop and think about it. It was always, almost always, in the form of a story. Very rarely did he get up and preach a message, so to speak. You know, we call them parables. You know, they very often began, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of God is like. Or sometimes he would just simply say, there was a farmer who went out to sow seed in the spring. You know, he'd begin a story like that. Or there were two fishermen by the shore, or so on and so on. And we call these parables. What a parable basically is a story with a teaching embedded within it. That's what a parable is. It's really just a story. And it's usually figurative, not literal. It's not usually a story that really took place. That's why he says the kingdom of God is like so-and-so. The kingdom of heaven is like. It's as, you know, I have found myself over the years very often, you know, when I'm in a situation, maybe discussing something or whatever, and I'll start speaking in a parable. I'll say, well, that would be like me going somewhere and doing this and this and this and this and this and that. I'm not really going to do that, but that's what it would be like. And this is the format that Jesus used in his teachings. Now, he spoke, according to some, over 40 of these parables. Most of them are found, believe it or not, in the Gospel of Luke. A couple, just to give you an example. The Good Samaritan. Everybody heard the parable of the Good Samaritan? Anybody have, what's the Good Samaritan about? Somebody, anybody? Helping your neighbor. Helping your neighbor, right? Story of how a man was down and out on his luck, hurt, I think beaten and robbed and laying on the side of this, on the road. And along came a priest. And when he saw him, he just walked to the other side of the road. Stay away from there. And then it says, and likewise a Levite, another religious leader, came, and the same thing just. But then along came a Samaritan. The Samaritans are symbolic of unbelievers. Okay, they were kind of the outcast. He came along, and he had compassion on this man. Not only did he maybe just try to tend to his wounds, he put him on his donkey, brought him to the nearest inn, they call it, like a motel in today's day, and said, I have to go, but I'm leaving this man here. Take care of him. Here's some money. Give him whatever he needs. And on my way back, I'll stop. And if it's more than what I've given you, I'll take care of that too, but just take care of him. That's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And likewise, you have one, it's the parable of the lamp under a bowl. And that basically is, if you have a light, you want to light up a room, you don't light the light and then put a bowl on top of it, right? That's not going to shed any light. So what he was talking about, you never take a lamp and put it under a bowl. He's talking about the light that's within you. If you're not sharing it and brightening the world around you, it's as if you've got a bowl on top of you. And what good does that have to do? In fact, just recently, you know, the 3 days before the Easter break, the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in our school downstairs, we have what we call Spiritual Emphasis Week. And Pastor Diane comes in and she does some teachings with the children. at that time. And one of the teachings she did this time, she was speaking about how God brings light into our life, how the Word of God is light. It says it's a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet, how God is light, and he brings it into our life. And she ended it. She had a book. We got this years ago. I don't know where it is, where we got it from. But you take this book, and when you open it, the pages will become like an accordion, and this bright light shines out of it. And in the end, she took it, and she showed the kids, she says, this is what you got, the light of God. And she opened it up, and their eyes all got like marbled, and ooh, and on. You know, where can I get one of those? And they were so excited. Well, we have that light abiding within us. And if we put a bowl over us, nobody's going to see it. Then you have the parable of the sower and the seeds. He says there was a farmer who went out to sow his seed in the spring. And he just scatters his seed. And he goes on to explain how some fall on rocky soil, some fall on thorny soil, and eventually some fall on good soil. Yeah, I'm going to have a problem. But there's a message in there. In other words, share what you've got. Spread the seed that you have. Don't worry about who's in the range of your voice. And that maybe you're thinking, nobody's going to listen to me here. There might be a piece of fertile soil there amongst the thorns and amongst the rocks. And it's going to land on it and take root. And we have the parable of the 10 virgins. Simply put, there's wise among us and foolish among us. Be ready. That's bring it down to two words. Just be ready. Everybody's worrying today. Look what's going on in the world. Earthquakes. I felt this building shake. Eclipses. Now Iran has attacked Israel. How many people are now, oh my God, is this the beginning of World War III? You know what that was last night? That was to save face. They broadcast what they were going to do. They might as well, they practically told us how they're going to do it and when they're going to do it, knowing full well that between Israel and all its allies, they can intercept every one of those silly things they sent over. It was just to save face because Israel had bombed their embassy in Syria and so on, and they had to retaliate somehow. But they did it in a way knowing they didn't want to create World War III. Nobody wants to start World War III. So settle down. It's not the beginning of the end yet. We'll know when it is, believe me. And then finally we have obviously the prodigal son. Everybody knows the story of the prodigal son, right? We all have prodigals in our lives, don't we? Well, you know, the first two, the Good Samaritan and the lamp under a bowl, are probably the ones that relate most to what I want to share this morning. And I want to tell you a story like Jesus did in his parables. I want to tell you a story about a young man named Ted Stollard. Now, the difference between this and a parable is this is a true story, but it contains a message within it. But this is a true story about this young man. And this story is taking place all over the world today in various ways and in various circumstances. You see, Ted was a young man. He was very turned off by school. School just was not his thing. He didn't come from a very affluent family. He was very sloppy in appearance and the way he was dressed. He had no vim or vigor in his life. He was kind of expressionless. Just one of those people who never had a smile on his face. And to boot, he wasn't a very attractive young man. And worst of all, he was slow. Okay? Oftentimes, he'd come into school, and he'd basically just sit in a class, stare off into space, unresponsive, never raise his hand, never answer a question, probably never even heard half of what the teacher had to say. And now, knowing, we have a school here, I deal with teachers, when you have a class of, even if it's only 10 kids, but maybe 30 kids in a public school, this was probably, And you had that one kid who just, you know, he becomes an irritation. And he became an irritation to his teacher, Miss Thompson. It got to the point where Miss Thompson actually enjoyed taking her red pen and placing big red X's next to all the wrong answers on this boy Ted's test. He had really gotten to her. Now here's the thing. If she had only just taken the time, now I know it's tough for teachers, you got a class, you got all these kids, but if she had just taken the time to say, what's with this kid? And maybe take them in, maybe on a break or something, go down to the office and take a look into his files. See, what makes this kid tick? Why is he the way he was? Because if she had, she would have seen that his records went something like this. First grade, you see, teachers, and our records are not just report cards, but there's also progress reports. It's not just letters and numbers and grades. There's also usually remarks from the teacher or from someone as to the condition, right, isn't it? As to how they're doing, how they're progressing, so on and so forth. A teacher, Angela, in the back, they just went through this. We had just had parent-teacher conferences. His records went like this. First grade, Ted shows promise with his work and attitude, but he has a poor home situation. Second grade, Ted could do better. His mother's seriously ill. He receives very little help from home. Third grade, Ted is a good boy, but he's way too serious. He's a slow learner. His mother died this year. Fourth grade, Ted is very slow, but well behaved. But his father shows no interest whatsoever in him. And it went on and on and on. Well, Christmas arrived, and it was the last day before the Christmas break. And all the kids came in with a pile of gifts for Miss Thompson, all elaborately wrapped with bows and ribbons, and all placed them on her desk. But even Ted brought one in. But it was wrapped in a brown paper bag, hardly held together with some scotch tape. And Miss Thompson took her time and opened each gift as the children were gathered and watching around her desk, one at a time, one at a time, one at a time, leaving Ted's for last. And she finally got to Ted's gift. And out of Ted's paper bag gift fell this gaudy, old, fake rhinestone bracelet with half of the stones missing and a half-used bottle of some cheap perfume. And the children began to laugh and snicker and make fun, as kids would in their innocence. But the teacher was wise enough. She silenced them by taking some of the perfume and splashing it on her wrist and letting them smell it. And she even went as far as she put the bracelet on, as gaudy and old as it was. And the school day went on. And at the end of the day, all the other children had left now for Christmas break. And Ted was left alone there, and he came up to the teacher's desk. And he said, Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother. And the bracelet looks real pretty on you. I'm glad you like my presents. And he left. And after he left, and Miss Thompson was all alone, she got down on her knees. And she asked God to forgive her and to change her attitude. And when the children returned from that Christmas break, they were greeted by a very different teacher, one who was committed to loving each and every one of them, especially the slow ones, especially Ted. And surprisingly, or maybe not so surprisingly, Ted began to show some great improvement. He actually caught up with some of the students and even passed up a few of them. Well, graduation came, and went, and Miss Thompson heard nothing from Ted for quite a while. Then one day, she received a note. The note said, "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know I'll be graduating second in my class. Love, Ted." Then again, 4 years late, 4 years later, another note arrives. "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I'll be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. The university hasn't been easy, but I liked it. Love, Ted." And again, 4 years later, "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I'm Theodore Stallard, MD. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know. I'm getting married next month, the 27th to be exact. I want you to come, and I'd like you to sit where my mother would have sat if she were alive. You're the only family I have now. Dad died last year. Love, Ted." Well, Miss Thompson attended that wedding, and she sat where Ted's mother would have sat. You see, the compassion that she showed that young man entitled her to that privilege. Every day we come in contact with people like Ted. However, for some, the hurt doesn't always show on the outside. Some people wear a mask to cover the invisible pain that exists just beneath the surface of their lives, and it's not always easy to see. It could be your next-door neighbor. It could be a member of your family. It could be your spouse, a friend, a coworker, or maybe even the person sitting right next to you right now. You know, we're not all missionaries, but we all have a mission in life. You know, we have family, we have work, we have neighborhood, we have our church. Maybe it's just to help, to oversee, to use the giftings that God has given you. Maybe to evangelize, maybe to teach, maybe to comfort, maybe to console someone, sometimes not even with words, or to pray or intercede for someone, to encourage someone, to encourage someone. I remember, and Sue will remember, many years ago we had a brother in here, Brother Masson, Victor Masson. I couldn't walk in this place without him coming over to me and saying, "Eugene, I appreciate you." You know, as I've gotten older, I recall those words and I appreciate them and him saying them. He didn't have to say that. But sometimes just to encourage someone, to exhort. Or maybe it's to donate. Maybe you're wealthy. Maybe it's to donate. Maybe it's even to preach. Who knows? God has given us unique talents. You know, believe it or not, Jesus was not an evangelist or a missionary. His mission was to bear witness to the truth and to teach or disciple those few that were entrusted to him. That was his mission. And then he sent out those that he discipled to ultimately be a sacrifice for us. Can you imagine? Miss Thompson's mission became a commitment to love each and every one, but especially one of her students, especially the slow ones. You know, I look back over the life of this church, been here a long time, I can see how each pastor, each one who led this place, had a mission for this church, whether they knew it or not. Going all the way back to the founder, this brother Guido, he wasn't even a pastor. He was just this old Italian guy, maybe not that old, who got a bunch of people together in his house. Eventually they outgrew the house and they moved into a storefront here, and they outgrew the storefront. One of them had a parcel of land where you're sitting right now, a little parcel of land. And they decided to put up a building now where they could gather, and it's the nursery and bathrooms in the front. That was it. That was the building. And then when God had called his time, they brought in this other man, Pastor Colella. And he came in, and as the ministry was growing, I said, how God uses each and every one's gifts. Well, Pastor Colella was a builder. And he built this sanctuary that you're sitting in, without the wings, this sanctuary and the basement. And the church began to grow. But then it was time for him to leave. And they brought in another brother, Ross Davey, who became the pastor. And for 15 years, he was here in this ministry grow. He put this church on the map. He was a singer, and he raised up singers, the gospel singers. He was a forerunner. He was a groundbreaker. He was a rebel. Most of the other churches and ministries had it in for him. How could he sing those kind of songs and whatever, and guitars and bongos and drums? What are you kidding me? They were still singing the hymns and all the songs. Annette, Sister Annette knows. But he brought this church to a different level. So much so, we had to add on the wings. And he had a vision for a school. And we began a school. I was right there with him. We began this school. Sister Annette was right there with us. We began this school. How each one day God uses the giftings and talents. And then, unfortunately, Pastor Davey came down with an illness and had to leave. And brought in another brother, John Wynn, to take over the pastorate. Now, Pastor Wynn was very different. Very, very old school. Very old school Assembly of God. He was up right there where that keyboard is. We had an old organ with the pedals and the whole nine yards. And we sang out of the hymn books. And you know, you could, some maybe call him an old stuff shirt. You know, there were things you loved about him, things you really didn't like about him. We went head to head many a time. But you know what? Because of his old-fashionedness, his fastidiousness, and the way he was brought up and part of the Assembly of God and organization, he found out that after all these years, now it is, here it is, close to 40 years since the inception of this church was never really a duly recognized 501c3 nonprofit organization. We were actually operating illegally by letting people claimed their donations on their income taxes. And back in those days, now you get a 501c3 at the drop of a hat. Back in those days, it was a process. He and I worked together for 2 years to get that status and get this church functioning legally, federally, state, local, the way it should be. And he was here for 7 years and he left, and we brought in Pastor Odom. Bob Odom, he was a good guy. Nice guy. I liked him. I really did. His heart was for local pastors. He would gather local pastors from all the churches in the area, and every Tuesday morning, he'd be in, that used to be the old Spanish chapel at the time. He'd have them gathered in a coffee and bagel or something like that, just talk and pray or whatever. But that was his... that was his thing, bringing churches together. He had a heart for that, and he had a knack for it. And then it was time, after about 10 years him being here, he left, and he felt God's call to raise us up as the pastors. And I guess our legacy is still to be seen somewhere down the road. But you see, whoever you are, wherever you are, God has a calling upon your life. You don't have to go out. You don't have to go away and become some missionary or evangelist. God will bring opportunities to you. Come on, you, each and every one of you, I'm sure, has had an opportunity dropped in your lap, right? It's up to you to do what God has called you. I got an opportunity just the other day to share with a cable repairman that came in my house. You know, I have to confess, as he was coming and I made the appointment and he was on his way, it honestly never even crossed my mind, yeah, I hope I get an opportunity to speak to him about the Lord. I hate to confess that, but it didn't. I was more concerned about what he's coming to do and how he's going to do it, and is he going to be on time, and, you know, what kind of a person is he? He was a really nice guy. Really nice guy, George. And sooner or later, we got to talking, and we got to talk a little bit about the Lord. I can't say I led him to the Lord, but I got the message across, okay? In my 40-plus years as principal of our school, I've seen firsthand the difference that's made in the lives of young people by teachers who cared. Makes all the difference in the world. You see them begin to change, excel. I can say, I love when I see how our teachers go the extra mile. Not to so quickly just, you know, it's not working, let's just dismiss them. You know, we have, in the beginning of the year, we have what we call a 10-week probationary period. During that 10 weeks, we determine, you know, is this child really able to, capable of, and should be here or whatever? I can probably count on one hand how many times you've actually exercised that probationary period and had to release someone. There are times. Sometimes situations are out of your hands. They're out of your control. It could be a learning disability that we're not, you know, there's only so much you can do and so much you're capable of doing. So there are times. But I've seen time after time after time after time when you go that extra mile to care, maybe find out what's going on behind the scenes, find out what's going on in the family, what a difference it makes. Point is, don't give up on people. You might be the very one that God has called to make a difference in their life. You might be the very one. You don't say, well, not me. There's so many others more qualified. Oh, my. No, you may be the very one. It may be something about your personality. It could be something about your looks. Maybe you remind that person of their father or their grandfather. And they'll listen to you where they won't listen to them. You don't know. You may be the very one. You know, the bottom line is, we all really need each other. I believe God created us that way. We need each other. We weren't created here on this world to be loners. Without each other, what do we really have? Just a lot of stuff. Really, think about it. Just a lot of stuff. You know, there's an old saying, says you can't take it with you. I've shared this before. I had a uncle-in-law, if you want to call it, at a gas station here in town, and he had this sign on there. He was very materialistic, all about money, and he had a sign on the wall in his gas station that says, if I can't take it with me, I'm not going. Well, that's not the case. You know, now, like I said, there's that old saying, you know, you can't take it with you. Well, I actually got to thinking, actually, there is something you could take with you. People. You could take people with you. I can't remember that old, there's an old song. I forget the guy who sang it about when he got to heaven. And there were all these people. You maybe don't remember me. I was in your Sunday school class. And I don't know if you remember the song. A very popular singer at the time. What a song, man. It'll bring you to tears. But there is something you can take with you. People. You know? There's an old song. I was joking with my wife this morning, Pastor Diane, because she actually brought it up. And she actually says, what are you talking about this morning? I says, people. And she started singing the song. It's an old song by Barbara Streisand. Many of you know, maybe some of you never even heard of her. One of the greatest singers. What a voice. I've heard it said that she could hold a note longer than anybody else. Just could hold it. Where's it coming from? Has she got a tank on the side here or something? Well, she sang a song in this movie, and the movie was called Funny Girl. Actually, she was a little bit odd. But the words to the song go like this. People who need people are the luckiest people in the world. When you really stop and realize you need other people. It goes on, it says, we're children needing other children. You know how kids want to be accepted? But us. And yet letting a grown-up pride hide all the need inside, acting more like children than children. You hear that? You ever notice how some people just have to be the class clown? They have to be the comedian, or the brainiac, or the show-off. Very often they're hiding something. They're hiding something. Maybe their inability to just sit one-on-one and talk or whatever. They're more comfortable just, you know, joking around and fooling around or drawing attention away someplace. And then there's a, I wasn't going to share this verse of the song, but then I said, no, I think I should. The second verse that says, lovers are very special people. Now, they're talking about two people who are fallen in love. Okay, don't let your mind go somewhere else. Lovers are very special people. They're the luckiest people in the world. With one person, one very special person that you could find. When you do, a feeling deep in your soul says you were half, now you're whole. No more hunger and thirst. But listen to what it says. But first, be a person who needs people. People who need people are the luckiest people in the world. Many are masking. They're hiding something inside. They need us. Let me close with this thought. If you recall in Scripture when the Lord was asked, Lord, what is the greatest commandment of all? His answer was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. But he didn't stop. He says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then listen to what he says. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Wow. It's kind of like, you know, Solomon at the end of Ecclesiastes when he came to his conclusion. What's the conclusion of the whole matter? Fear God and keep his commandments. And what's one of his commandments? Not only to love God, but to love your fellow man. God didn't create us. First thing he did after he created the man and the woman was create family. He realized the man shouldn't be alone. Nobody should be alone. Nobody. On these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets. In other words, nothing is more important than loving God and loving your fellow man. Amen? Stand with me. Father, we thank you so much for the fellowship that we have. You know, we talk about it so often. What a beautiful family we have here. People who love each other, genuinely care about each other. But you know what? There are so many, though, that are hurting. And there may even be some in here that are masking what they're going through. May we have the boldness to maybe peer or peek a little bit inside and try and find out and try to be the help that we can be with the gifts that you have given us. To somebody, to someone, whether it's here, whether it's at home within our family, whether it's in our neighborhood, whether it's at work, or whether it's just somebody we run into in the mall. You know, there are many, like that beat up guy on the side of the road, that so many pass by, but then comes along the Samaritan. May we have a Samaritan spirit in our spirit and in our life. To be ready, willing, and able to lend that extra hand. Father, I pray that this message has not just been another message, that it has taken root in our hearts, Lord, that we will apply it daily as we go through our walk. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, let's go love on each other a little bit and have a piece of cake and celebrate Camille's birthday. If there's anyone here who needs prayer, come on up.
be too long to tell you how prophetic it is. The Lord woke me up this morning, so I'm going through.